The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Yes, indeed. A lot to get to with you, Francis.
Lots. Mm-hmm. There's always lots, especially this time of year.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that.
Lots of stuff.
Frank Bull, the godfather of Kansas City sports, with us here in the program. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebold, Fast Talking Rob with you. We're coming to you straight out of the Rally House studios. Rally House, getting you geared up for Chiefs games and all your Chiefs fandom, whether it's on you at the game, the tailgate, your man cave, at your office.
All your college football stuff, too.
That's right. College football is right around the corner.
Sporting.
Well, they have a great sporting section.
Yeah.
I figured up that I could not think of a shirt that I had purchased for 5 years, an article of clothing that I purchased in the last 5 years that didn't come from Rally House.
Not even your suit?
No.
Your wedding suit?
I got a fat guy suit.
You got a suit? You wear sweat clothes at a wedding these days?
Yeah. No, I've had clothes bought for me.
Okay.
My wife has
nothing
bought me
that you purchased.
A handful of shirts. Okay. You know, my mom will see something and pick it up. Uh-huh. She buys like 17 sizes and says, which one fits? Right? And always, it's the big one, Mom. Yeah. It's, you know, that's nice of you to buy seven sizes smaller, but no.
Oh, honey, this should fit.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I'm not saying I don't have any other clothing. I don't have many other. I'm not a fashion guy. If you could be like, listen.
What?
Yeah, I know. Stunning.
Look at him.
Stunning. Stunning to think. But like if right now I could go to the finish line with the clothing I own, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Well, I can because
I don't want to shop for clothes. Right. I don't want to try on clothes. Right. I don't want to spend money on clothes.
That's for sure.
There's a million things I'd rather spend on than clothes. Other than like I can't go into Rally House and not come out with a hat.
Sure.
I buy like 5 hats a year.
They love you.
Oh, God, they do. They do. I'm that suck. Oh, got a new Royals hat. Well, I got to have that spring training hat. It's got the Arizona thing on the side.
That's right.
I must have. Right?
You're a Rally House-aholic.
I am.
That's it. They love you. You're standing out there waiting until the doors open. Come in and sit down at the bar and buy yourself a couple of hats.
My one morning I was leaving for work and my wife knew I was going to be doing the show at the Kansas Sampler, the big Kansas Sampler, and of course Rally House, their sister stores over by Oak Park Mall. She brought me 2 hangers. She says, why don't you just take this with you, because this is where whatever you come back with is going to go on.
That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. That's a good sense of humor there.
Yeah.
That's a good sense of humor. Yeah. She's a good lady.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, when I did TV all those years, I mean, I hardly ever wear a suit anymore or a tie. You know what I mean? So that part of my wardrobe is all set for whatever I need the rest of my life.
You've done it for years.
I've done it. You're so like, accumulate all of it. I have so many ties that there's just no way in God's green earth I'm ever going to wear them. So I've got to glean all those out and get rid of that stuff and do lots of stuff.
Yes, yes.
Give them the Goodwill,
yes,
Salvation Army,
absolutely.
Somewhere. Yeah, make sure they
Let's.
Yes.
Let's mention.
Go.
The fact that Terrence Gore is a Cub.
I think that's.
That is the official white flag from the Royals that we're not going to play postseason ball anytime soon.
And they should have got rid of him a long time ago.
I don't know. I mean, I think the last 2 years, I think they had legitimate World Series and postseason aspirations and had things broken their way. Broken their way again.
Oh, I meant a long time ago this season, not maybe the last two.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. But it is official. They're like, we're not. Yeah,
that's right done.
Hanging on to him.
And he won't
year,
be here for the rebuild. He won't be around for the rebuild. So.
Well, he figures to be of an age where he would have lost his
speed, which is all he had.
Yeah. And he could lose his step and still be one of the fastest guys in baseball.
And I'm sure the Cubs came to them and said, hey, yeah, that Gore guy you used back in 14, or no, was it 15? 14 and 15. Was he on team in 14? Was he there in 14?
Yeah.
Did he?
He was
okay.
There 14 and
14, 15. You remember that guy using 14, 15, a little guy that could steal by that guy? Do you, is he still around?
Like, I'm not going to say the Royals made a bad trade because I don't know what was being offered and what was out there.
I don't think
and there is a shelf life. And as soon as he starts losing his speed, he loses his value. So they got something for him. But shame on baseball. I mean, there should have been a line at the Royals' door at the trade deadline to go get him. I mean, really, they should have been able to. If this is all they could get, mm-hmm. if they did their due diligence, these other teams are dumb. Because when you play playoff baseball, you're not, with all the off days, you're not going to need 13 pitchers.
Right.
And you're going to have a spot. And if a guy's hurt, he's generally hurt for the whole series, and you put him down. And to have a guy like this on your roster.
Especially that, late in this close game.
Yes.
Scares the opposition.
The guy
that, death.
That the other team knows he's going to steal and they can't throw
they
him.
They still can't
yeah.
throw him.
Yeah. And he's going to go from first to home on a single. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I really think that baseball under – this is the Cubs being smarter than everybody else. And you watch, he's going to be on their damn playoff roster.
Sure he will. I mean, I think that's what they got him for.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think – I mean, they're already – like, we're in – Well, we feel we're in anyway. You know, we're going to get there, and he's going to be part of this run.
Which version of the 2015 Royals are you cheering for? The Brewers or Cubs?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Both. Why not?
What do we got? Zobrist,
Gore. We're already sick of the Cubs.
We miss Davis is gone now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll root for all the old Royals that were part of that. Absolutely, but I do think the other thing to take away from this is that, like, the Joe Maddon and the Cubs' ability to find guys that can play multiple positions. So during the regular season, that helps you by being able to carry more pitchers, get to the bullpen, mm-hmm. mix and match, and all that kind of stuff. But Javier Baez, they can push all over the diamond, and he's one of the best players in baseball. But come postseason, it enables you to carry Terrence Gore.
Mm-hmm. Which is great.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Joe Maddon's a bright guy. The Cubs are a bright organization.
Yep.
They're doing things really, really smart in addition to having a ton of money, and that's always been the fear. And Theo Epstein is the smartest kid in the room, and the richest team in baseball hired him in Boston, and now, or one of the richest teams, and now another one of the richest teams in baseball has him.
Yep.
And that's going to be a really formidable, that's going to suck. It's going to be, we'll pass.
Go, Gore, go. The song is bad in every way a song can be.
It literally was like, it's like a guy just riffed, like, you're too young for this, but when we were kids, me and Curtis, and when Frank was middle-aged.
Beyond middle-aged. Near retirement.
You'd go to the mall, and they would have organ stores.
Mm-hmm.
Like the organs.
That's right.
Like when synthesizers and keyboards came out, it was huge. And there'd be a Wurlitzer. Full store. They might have a couple pianos.
They had the pianos,
But there would be tons of organs.
Oh, yeah.
And the organ had like a background music that you could play.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what that is. It's just organ background music with a guy, you know,
making up
lyrics. Some lyrics. Yeah. About go Cubs go! I mean, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. That earns the music for a 1978 sitcom that failed after two episodes. That thing's a hunk of.
They sing it crap. They sing it top of their lungs.
Fly
they love
the
to
W,
sing
the song. They go love, Cubs go!
They love to sing in Chicago.
Yeah, whatever. That's
finally.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I guess we'll live with it.
Yeah. You interested to watch? My old brain. Pitcher tonight.
Jorge Lopez.
Interested to watch? See what he's got.
Royal
see what
David.
We got here. I see the grimace on your face.
Truth be known.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I'll do my job and watch it.
Okay.
I mean, that's and the Royals are a victim of their own success. 5 years before they won the World Series. Yeah, 2 years before they won the World Series. 13. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what this piece is. Mm-hmm. They're so far away.
Yeah,
no.
They are.
I mean, it's a labor of love now no, it's not. It's a labor, period.
Right.
It's just a labor to get it done, which is amazing because I know there's a lot of fans that don't feel that way when earlier in the year they were fifth in baseball by TV ratings. You know, there are people that are still like, now, I don't know if that's because so many people are watching things that aren't rated on television anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the ratings are just a product of who's watching TV. And those that are watching TV tend to be of an older generation.
Yes.
And baseball's fandom is older. And so baseball just plays into the wheelhouse of TV ratings, which in reality, the younger demographic, the more core demographic that you want to hit and get because they're going to be fans for longer
right.
on your team, is watching Netflix and Hulu
yeah, sure.
And all those different things.
It's definitely.
Instead, I think it's a combination of both. One, Royals fans are incredibly passionate and hanging in there. But then also, I think it is just somewhat a sign of the times that, you know, a lot of people, you know, my buddy Stats is the biggest baseball fan you're going to find, and he ain't watching them.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, too. They are fifth, or were fifth earlier in the year, but their ratings were down, way down. But baseball ratings were down, and theirs were down for the Royals, obviously, as well. And then last night's attendance, I mean, just I know the weather was crappy and the whole thing, but, I mean, there was nobody. And it was Toronto. And there was nobody out there. Nobody. That place was empty last night.
Well, I said that. So,
I'm not faulting fans. Yeah. Fans, don't get me wrong. I'm not faulting you. I'm just saying, compared to what it was.
And it looked really
just 3 years ago.
It looked really bare compared to the two previous series, which was more than half packed with the other
with
team's
the
fans.
Opposition's fans. Yes, yeah. The Cubs and the Cardinals. So
they played 16 straight games without a partisan Royals crowd. 10-game road trip, 3 with the Cubs at home, 3 with the Cardinals at home.
Yeah.
So wow. 16 straight games.
They've fallen so quickly and so hard. I mean, the stuff, and I know you've talked about this, and you talk about the statistics that 3 years from now, basically they could be back in
we,
it.
We quoted.
Whatever.
The longer this
I'd love
goes,
to get your gauge
that
every week, because you're really confident early in the year, maybe the end of last year and early year, hey, we know we're going to go through this. They're accumulating some guys. They're going to make some trades here. We'll see who we get back in return. This is before everybody left. And now all of a sudden you look at it and just go, good Lord. Because basically you're going to have a new manager probably before all this turns around and gets going. It's going to be a new manager that basically turns this thing around or has to turn around. Maybe a new general manager that has to turn this thing around. Now, I know Dayton Moore has accumulated every bit of goodwill and longevity could possibly do with what he has done with the team, but he may get to a point where he just goes, you know what, just isn't getting done with me here. And knowing him, he's such a, you know, he just go, you know what, it might be time for me to walk away. I thought we could do this, and
well,
I can't.
And my pessimism is building not just by what we're seeing at the big league level, but what I'm seeing at the minor league level.
That's where everybody looks.
Prado, the 14th pick from last year, is striking out at an alarming rate and not hitting for a ton of power.
Right.
You know, Matias strikes out a ton, but he has 31 home runs. Prado is not producing that kind of power, and he's striking out just as often. That's frightening because that's the guy who's supposed to go in at first base. Josh Stomont still can't find the plate consistently. Right. I mean, I looked it up. His last three outings have collected 6 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 5 walks, 6 Ks. I mean, you know, he's gonna walk the world in the big leagues. He's nowhere near. So that's an arm that was coveted at one point that, frankly, what they've got to get better at is looking at the guy and going, he doesn't throw strikes, but he's got big Ks. Let's trade him for something while we can. Let's put him into a deal, and let's get something else that we do like. He's now – no one's going to touch him. I mean, there's no value in a guy who you have not been able to get to throw strikes for 3 years at basically the same level. Double-A, triple-A, because I don't think there's a lot of difference between those two levels. Triple-A, you just finish off with the junk ballers and the crafty guys that are hanging on. And he, you know, he can't get those guys to offer at his pitches. So that's scary. And I'm going to tell you, the five pitchers that are the big thing, they drafted these college pitchers.
Yeah.
Singer's not throwing. Fine. You want to shelve him. That's great. So we have nothing to judge him on. Kowar is getting housed. Lynch is the Virginia kid. He's been very good. Strikeout numbers aren't overwhelming, but the other numbers are good. And then the other two, the Memphis kid's been crushed. And the Stanford kid, the ERA doesn't look so good, but some of the peripherals aren't too bad. Oh, Charlie, they just drafted him. Yeah, I know, but I mean, there are guys who are good right off the bat.
Yes, just because you haven't generally seen it here.
When is that MF-er going to play here?
Brandon Finnegan did it. Now, it's different. He was a reliever. Brandon Finn got drafted and came up in September and was valuable.
Great point. Mm-hmm. And the whole deal is you think, they threw all the numbers at pitching, and they're hoping for one guy.
Yeah.
And right now, that's what they got, is one guy. I mean, the other guy, you said the peripherals are fine, but again, he's learning how to pitch. They got one guy right now out of that whole crew.
I am not predicting that they're going to get nothing out of these five guys. I'm not. I'm just telling you that I wouldn't mind seeing because here's the other thing. They're not all at Lexington and low A, right? There's two of them at Lexington and two of them at Idaho Falls. The kid from Memphis is at Idaho Falls and getting blistered.
Right.
That's not good. No. they started him at the levels that they thought that their abilities were worthy of. And Kowar had a good start and then nothing.
Right.
So there's plenty of time.
Yep.
Yes, maybe they'll be really good. There's lots of guys that have a bad, 25 innings to start their career and go on to be great. But just right now, none of them are Brandon Finnegan-ing it. Right? Right now, they're not as good as Brandon Finnegan was after being drafted.
Right. The other thing that scares probably all Royals fans and me as well is the fact that, when the Royals came up through 13, 14, and 15, who were the dominant teams in baseball? I think the most dominant team at that time were the Giants. I think they're winning the World Series every other year. Remember, there's all the big even years.
They won 10,
right?
12, and 14.
Right. And then 14 and 1, but the Royals went. But there was really no dominant team in the American League, right?
Yeah. And the Yankees 15, were in a little bit of a recession.
Right. In 15, the same deal.
Not a depression, just a recession because they won 84 games for their low watermark.
Yeah, exactly. And there was no dominant team in 15. The Royals were the dominant team in the American League. 15 won 96 games. They took the lead in the beginning. They took off in April, never looked over their shoulder, played with that. They're throwing at people. They're fighting with people in April, and they kept that, God bless them, all the way entire year. And then they won the World Series and beat a National League team that the Mets weren't really all that, for the World Series. Now you worry about, you just said, the two teams, two richest teams in baseball. You got the Cubs. You got the Boston Red Sox. You always have the Yankees. And there's the Angels. A lot of times there's the Rangers and, all these other teams, and you go, Houston, whatever. You just sit there and you go, wow, these teams weren't there back in 13, 14, and 15 when the Royals got a resurgence, came up. The young guys really played with confidence in the way they played baseball. They're running, they're hitting, moved the line along. They're putting relief pitchers in the fifth inning, and those relievers were lights out. And now everybody in baseball sort of has caught on, and they're doing the same thing, and that's what I worry about. I worry about it's going to be years.
Well, I think
before this franchise gets back.
There are two things that are absolutely true about this organization. One, they're the organization that put together back-to-back AL pennant winners and won a world championship, and for that, we should give them a vote of confidence and stay with them. That is absolutely true. It is also absolutely true that they were a multitude of amazing plays away from being a one game and done playoff participant in 14 and a number of amazing situations in an Astros series of being a one series and done team in 15. So this would look very different had they lost to the A's and Astros. There would be no confidence. There'd be none.
We'd scream for heads. They'd have screamed for heads by now, especially if then this followed those two early ousters, and then this followed.
Maybe 15 doesn't happen if they lose the game against the A's in 14 because they don't think, there's an argument to be said there.
Yeah. When do we hit the panic button on Eric Berry's sore heel? We'll talk about that next with Frank Bohl, the godfather of Kansas City sports, is in.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Who was the first player in pro football to have a 100-catch season? He's 83 years old today, born right here in Kansas City.
Lionel Taylor?
Lionel Taylor for the 1961 Houston Oilers.
Yes.
Good job.
Yes, thank you. Great Cajun Food from Jazz, your pre- and post-headquarters for Sporting Kansas City games, is the Jazz Louisiana Kitchen there by the racetrack at the Legends. That is a great, great spot. It is my pre- and post-headquarters whenever I go to Sporting Kansas City games. Check it out. on your way to the game or just whenever you're at the Legends. Also great locations, the original 39th and State Line. And at the right by the Silverstein Ice Center Arena there in Independence. Don't forget the Arrowhead Events is hosting the 6th Annual Fantasy Football Draft. Frank, you'll want to have your league there. It's at Arrowhead Stadium this Friday night. The event goes from 5 to 9 and offers fantasy football fans the chance to draft their 18 fantasy rosters right there in the suite inside Arrowhead.
Right there.
You
can I take Bobby Lane?
Chiefs and Falcons okay. will be on. That'd be funny. That'd be
you
good.
You can, actually.
The Chiefs and Falcons will be on.
These are my Dynasty League team I've had.
You'll be able to see it. The TVs will all be to the Chiefs and Falcons. You're all Dynasty Dead team.
That wasn't very nice. John Henry Johnson's my running back.
The suites are available for eight or Billy Jim Thorpe. Suites are. Can I finish this? About
sure.
The
go ahead.
Suite,
sorry.
Please.
Apologize.
The suites are available for groups of eight or more, and come with access to a buffet meal, case of beer, unlimited soft drinks, and water. Each suite also has an official photo taken and has the Wi-Fi for you to have your league. Got to be 21 or older. And individual tickets are $80. You can get more details and register at www.chiefsfantasydraft.com. I like to capitalize the first letter of the word. So, like Chiefs Ant, what is it? Oh, fantasy. Okay, there it is. If we capitalize the first letter of the words, it gets easier to pick them out. Chiefsfantasydraft.com. That very easy to read website. Callers 8 and 10, we'll take them right now and get you registered to win this great prize for free.
That's a cool deal.
8 and 10 at 913-3810-810 Fantasy League at Arrowhead Friday with all the trimmings.
You all ready for yours?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I pretty much start prepping when the thing starts.
Okay.
I mean, I have a built-in advantage, obviously, because my job is football.
You're in it every day. It actually helps you with your job.
Of course it does. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street. The fantasy helps the job. The job helps the fantasy.
Perfect.
Not
so you should win every year.
Well.
You should win every year.
Sure. I'd go through all the reasons why. You should win. Here's what I would say. We should win more than most. Right, there's
and finish a finish high.
There's an injury aspect, mm-hmm. just like in real sports, that sure. you can have the best team get hurt and not be able to get it done.
I'm not going to argue that point.
But yes, I will not run from it. Absolutely, if you're in this industry, in this business, you should win more than most.
There you go. So we get to Eric Berry,
and and that's what makes it so depressing that Curtis has never won the player pool, never won the fantasy league.
I haven't.
You have one? Did you win the player pool 1 year?
No.
That's the NCAA
very
deal.
very first time we had a fantasy football league here, I won but wasn't obviously eligible. It was Javon Walker and Joe Horn. I had a monster year for my receivers and my running backs, and I won, but obviously I wasn't eligible.
Oh, okay, so you won fantasy football.
But I have won, I think, since then.
Oh, that's pathetic.
It's pretty bad.
Beginner's luck.
I never finished last, but I never win.
Eric Berry.
Yes.
Level of concern. Eric Berry, yo, he's scary. Tell the other team, homie, don't you damn me.
Eric Berry. Totally distracted at the moment. Okay. Very high concern. It was very iffy coming in that he would be, or he would come back to the level that he had been before.
Why?
Because the injuries and the cancer battle and everything else, I just didn't have high confidence.
So was Eric Berry a bad sign?
Now it doesn't look good. Probably not from a team standpoint. Yes. You know what I mean? From a locker room standpoint.
You still have the balls to say it, Frank. Let me say what you apparently
no, it has nothing
lost
to do with balls.
At some point along the way.
I didn't lose my balls.
If he doesn't, if he... You know, plays 5 or 6 games this year, mm-hmm. and if there's
well, 10 even
games,
if he plays a part time role,
if there's
this
10
year.
Games left in Eric Berry's career, this was a bad signing.
Yes, agreed.
They knew what was at risk. They knew he'd had an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. They knew he had had cancer. You know, we've got people who've beaten cancer calling us and saying, "Hey, that affects tendons."
Yeah,
you have a medical department,
sure,
right? And we read just on a quick Google search. Mm-hmm. You know, again, refreshing our memory. I remember when we went through all this when it was going on. But affects joints and bones, too. And you made him the most expensive safety in football.
Yeah, I know. Probably not a good sign. At this point, it doesn't look – but they, I guess they felt confident he's going to play.
I mean,
may – you know what? He may not play. There's a really good – he may not play.
Well, I agree. Or he might only play a handful of games. And that'll be a terrible tragedy. But I bring this up, and I would like for the fans to understand. This is why it's important for the fans. We don't know. Listen, he might go out there and play.
Yeah.
They might just be holding him out of the preseason the whole way. He's going to play 16 games, and he's going to kick ass. And at the end of that contract, we'll be like, well, great contract. Yeah, super expensive, but you know what? He missed a year, but he played all the other years, and he was great, and they won two Super Bowls, and Eric Berry was a big part of it. Yes, that may absolutely be the end of this. I bring it up, though, because whenever contracts for star players come up, the overwhelming sentiment of the fan base is you have to sign him. Which is such a foolish way of saying things if you're going to, actually run the organization. You don't have to sign them, right?
Right.
But that's the mindset of the fans. And if you don't sign them, and maybe you don't sign them because there are serious medical red flags, which there clearly were
Absolutely.
With Eric Berry, or you don't sign him because he's asking for too much money.
Which he was.
Right, which you can make a case to be the highest paid player at any position. How many guys do you know definitively that is the best guy and he warrants the best money? Not many. Free agents are always going to get it. If you're going to shop at the top shelf of the NFL free mm-hmm. agent market, that's how it's always going to be. Usually most free agent markets in professional sports, that's how it's going to be. It's why you don't want to be shopping out there. You want to draft well, re-sign your own that are the best, and then find good values in free agency. That's the best way to do it. That's the New England Patriot way to do it. But I bring it up not to pound in. I want Eric Berry's a great story. I want his career to
human being.
I want him to go on to be a Hall of Fame. He's on track to be a Hall of Fame safety.
Yep.
He's a better person. You want all those things to be successful. I bring it up simply as a fan, you know, to not spend a year being pissed at your team because they didn't sign a guy. Right, because reality, particularly in the NFL, reality is guys are at their best on their first contract.
Mm-hmm.
Their second contract is a risk and incredibly expensive. And the third contract should probably never be signed
Disastrous.
For anything other than a quarterback.
Right.
And maybe a handful of offensive linemen who seem to be able to play into their mid-30s right. with a high level of success. But that's just it. So this thought that I know this name, I know this guy, I got so many great memories, we got to keep him is actually wrong. It should be, I know this guy, he's been a great player, I got so many great memories, now let's get two draft picks for him.
Yeah.
That should be your mindset.
Exactly. And it's not personal, it's business. And I think the only reason they carried him over is because of the influence he was in the locker room. The deal is, the thing that scares you, and you say, well, they're going to hold him out of the preseason games because they want to be regular season, when he's not even on the practice field. You know what I mean? When he's not, you know, you can do that, but he can practice every day. And then you can come, hey, we're not going to play Eric Berry right now. We don't want to take any chance of getting hurt, and he's coming on fine. But he's not even practicing.
Which brings me to the part about John Dorsey that I've been talking about for the last couple of days after speaking with some folks around the league that Brett Veach and taking over. Now, Brett Veach was part of the talent acquisition of what was going on with the Chiefs at the time. But word is that I was told that this roster's got a lot of character questions. And it was stressed to me. I'm not saying you got a bunch of guys that are criminals. He said they just had questions, whether it's a marijuana positive, you know, several red flags that they word was they tested positive for marijuana in college. Whether it was, you know, I know one of the guys is Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was suspended at Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that happened during his sophomore year. Well, you know, it appears that it has not been any of his doing, perhaps, or there was a reason to punch a guy, right? If the story is right and the N-word was used. But he's all of a sudden in one off season been popped up in two different
Twice.
Situations. You don't ever want to pop up in the police right. blotter, right? And so I'm wondering if maybe that isn't part of the reason why Eric Berry was signed, was that we've got character questions everywhere, and we really do need Eric Berry to show these guys mm-hmm. how to lead their lives. And if that's the case, that you took all these character risks under John Dorsey, then you have to go overpay for a safety. And John Dorsey was late in figuring out what his value was and ended up having to pay $30 million more to get him signed than it would have cost a year and a half, 2 years earlier to sign before he ever got to free agency. That's how you end up in a bad spot roster-wise.
Sure you do.
And so it's purely for informational and teaching reasons that I say, look, you got to review each contract. And the contract will be a success or failure when it's over. We'll look back on it and say success or failure.
Right.
You know, Justin Houston, we went through the whole thing. I rattled off seasons of sacks. If Justin Houston, coming off 22 sacks, does this for the next 5 years of this contract, which is a five-year deal, right?
Yes.
Will you be content with this deal? And across the board, and I left it out there, and I didn't tell people where I was getting the numbers, and the consensus was, no, I won't be satisfied with what Justin Houston's contract will not be considered. Won't be considered a dismal failure, but he won't be successful enough.
Right.
Do you know what those 5 years were?
No.
The 5 years of sacks for Derek Thomas after his 20-sack season.
Mm. Okay. That makes sense.
So, you know, he didn't fall off a cliff. I mean, right. there was a 14 in there. There was an 11, but there was an 8 right. Or an 8.5, something like that. The point is, you know, not very often should you be signing the highest paid player on your roster.
No.
I mean, signing the highest paid player at his position.
And you're talking about a Hall of Famer. You're talking about Derek Thomas is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, that's what you wanted him. But that was the kind of money he was making. The contract he was looking at was to be Derek Thomas. That's who you want him to be.
Yeah.
You know, the next Derek Thomas. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I mean, and I also think, too, and this is a bad sign, and maybe it doesn't even look that they are actually almost rebuilding the team. Don't you get a little bit of a feeling like you look
at it?
There's
only 8 guys left from 13.
That's what, you just look at it and you go, okay. And they got this young quarterback who they know they expect them to do X this year. I don't know what that is in Andy's mind or whatever. But they expect him to be they also drafted him in that kind of situation, moved up, to be a 15-year player. You know what I mean? A 15-year franchise top echelon of the AFC quarterback for his career here, and therefore build around him, get him off the ground this year, better next year, better in the year after, and just, you know, keep going with this kid. And I think maybe that's what they have in the back of their mind, that Andy pushed all his chips in the middle of the table by drafting the kid and getting him the way he did, to know that 3, 5, 7, even when Andy's gone, 10 years down the road, that this kid will be one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC or top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well,
that's the way they project the kid. And so now they're building around the kid. Now they're starting to build around the kid.
Well, I will say this. Here might be the most damning thing for the organization is that if Eric Berry does get healthy and plays and Justin Houston plays and everybody stays reasonably healthy and they're not that good.
Yes, that's not a good thing.
You know, because they're a team that's right up. You know, they got $8-9 million with a cap room, so they can maneuver and do something.
Yeah.
But man, that'll be the scary thing is if everyone plays and then you're not that good.
Yeah, you still end up 8-8, 9-7, right in there, miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs under Andy Reid, 53-27 in the regular season. When both Barry and Houston play, 22-12, they actually come down in win percentage. A little bit. 31-15 if just one of them is out, regardless of who it is. They're actually at their best with just one of them, right? But then we find out which one. When Eric Berry's in and Justin Houston's out, they're 16-4. Justin Houston's in and Eric Berry's out, they're 15-10. If neither one of them plays, they're 0-1. That's
so
amazing.
One of them's got to play. They've never won a game with it.
We have. They've never won a game without Barry and
guys.
Houston.
Yeah, they're 0-1.
That's amazing to consider that they've missed this many games, yet only won at the same time.
Yes, right.
How does that happen?
And the original reason that I used 13 as a departure point wasn't
Andy
just because
Reed.
It was because I thought wins and losses, they were so bad the first 2 years that we'd like, you really want to use years that they were 2-and how do you judge their impact on a 2-14 team?
So we did 11-12.
Yeah.
Which they were together right before Andy Reid got there.
Right.
All Chiefs games were 9-23. Just remember the pre-Andy Reid era. 9-23. When both Barry and Houston played, 2-15. If one of them was out, 7-8. If Barry was in and Houston was out, they didn't play a game that way. If Houston was in and Barry was out, they were 7-8. So that time frame tells you Houston's the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Significantly better win percentage.
That amounts to that the difference in the games that they did. Barry didn't play. That was his second year. Houston's first year, he got hurt in the opener and didn't play. They were 7-8 the rest of the way.
The other thing it tells you, it takes a lot more than two guys.
Yeah, it does.
To win football games.
It does.
A lot more than two guys.
It takes more than Matt Cassel.
Yes,
as well.
Definitely. There's no doubt about that.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I do. Whew. I do know.
Man, I forgot about those years.
Matt Cassel.
Brady so Quinn bad. Started games in one of those years.
They were so bad.
Tyler Palko.
Yes.
I know. Tyler's a starter. And
Todd Haley.
So-and-so. Was it? Yeah. Kyle's ready to go if he plays. You know, Tyler's a starter.
Yeah, Kyle Brady.
Right? Kyle Orton. Kyle Brady Quinn.
Kyle Orton.
Same thing.
No. Kyle Orton.
Yeah, that's true. Orton's a better player.
No.
Orton was good.
If Kyle Orton came in here to kick your ass, I would not step
I wouldn't
in
either.
In
I wouldn't either. Kyle Orton was actually a decent
night
quarterback.
Night and day.
Brady Quinn was just...
You need someone to model a shirt? Yeah, Brady Quinn.
Brady absolutely.
Quinn. Decent college announcer? Fine. Brady Quinn. Yeah. Quarterback and NFL team? Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
Night and freaking day between those two. We'll take a break. Frank Opinions are next here in the program. Let's get to the bottom of this right now. Frank Opinions.
Ready.
Yeah.
Frank Bohl, the godfather of Kansas City sports, is with us here on the program.
Just call me the old white guy.
Okay. The old white guy. is with us here in the program. Curtis, where do we begin?
Will the Chiefs training camp be in St. Joe in 2028?
Good Lord.
10 years.
No.
10 years down.
No. No, and no. They're going to bring them all home.
I think Andy Reid might be the last guy to say, hey, this is an important part of the equation. Who's the next head coach of the Chiefs? You know what my statement is. It's probably as much as I'm rooting for it as it is. I might, since it's not football season, this might be out of your head right now. Rob, I can tell. He's young and hasn't lost his mind like you
this
two
guy
are farts.
Hates chicken as a food, drinks a nice glass of milk
with a steak.
Wears a good pair of pleated pants.
And likes a university-funded trip to Europe for the whole squad.
Sounds like somebody from the University of Michigan.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, that, or I was thinking maybe a Chase Daniel type thing. You were thinking maybe he's the next.
Nah, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah,
I think
Jim Harbaugh.
Wants the job.
Oh,
and I think Jim Harbaugh would do a great job with it. I think he's actually a better pro coach than he is college coach. Where his maniacal planning and studying and scheming and
I got it on the crisp pleat on the khakis. I know who that is.
Yeah.
I was sure about the milk,
you know,
and the steak.
The drop we play with Pete on Fridays. You know what I like? A nice, it goes through all those old guy things, that whole list.
Liking Ike.
A good piece of fish. A crisp pleat in his khaki pants. A university-funded trip to Europe.
There you go.
Glass of milk with a steak.
You know what? You could probably get. Yeah, that's pretty good. That'd be a pretty good pick.
I think Jim Harbaugh would go up there. So I think the right answer, because it's what I want to happen, is Reed coach as long as he's a stud, and then hand it to Jim Harbaugh. I think the right answer is going to be yes, they'll still be in St. Joe, because I think Harbaugh would like the St. Joe thing and get them all together, because I think Jim Harbaugh's old school, and that's who I'm planning on being my next coach of my pro football team I root for. But the fans are going to say no.
After all that.
And you're saying no as well?
I said no, too.
53-47 said no. I shortened it by 5 years to 2023. 67-33, yes.
Yeah, they all figure
so sometime between
done.
23
right.
and 28.
I think
that's
as soon
the
as
thought
Andy
process.
Reed's done. Yeah, sure.
All right. Who finishes with more sacks in 2018? Justin Houston or the combination of D. Ford, Breedland Speaks, and Tano Passanio?
The combination.
Oh, the combo.
Combo.
Listen, if you make it plus 2.5, right, I get 2.5 with the combo of Seabolt, Petro, and Brenton, I might take us. I do not have a lot of optimism. I continue, but I really disagree with Nate Taylor on this. I think Breland Speaks is going to start at outside linebacker. And Dee Ford is going to be a situational pass rusher. I think that is what he's going to end up being. And if Tano Passanio is playing as well as a lot of, and he's definitely playing better.
He's playing better.
If he's playing as well as a lot of people hope, then I think Tano Passanio might start taking those snaps. I Dee Ford, no. I'm not seeing it, so I'll take the combo. Even though I'm not in air, I mean, like in a fascinating 6.5 to 5.5 victory, I'll take the combo. What is it, Zombo, Passanio, and
no, it's Speaks? No. Ford Speaks and Passanio.
Ford Speaks and Passanio.
Against who?
Against Houston.
Against Houston.
Oh, I thought it was all those guys against Ford.
No,
no,
Ford,
God no.
Justin Houston or the combination of
Houston.
Ford Speaks, Passanio.
I'm taking a combo.
The only thing that the only way I lose that is if Houston gets hurt, which has happened quite a bit, but he says he's healthy.
I'm taking
a
combo.
Houston. Oh, come on. You making a joke? That question sucks. 50, tell me it's 90. What?
52-48, the combo.
Yes! Yes, the old man. That yes! is. How? What are you people watching?
Yeah. Tano, come on. He's going to take over, him alone.
52-48.
If Tano Passanio gets a sack, who's on the other side of him?
The quarterback. Nailed it.
No. The other side of the line.
Oh, it'll be Justin Houston.
Okay. If Dee Ford gets a sack, who's on the other side?
Justin Houston.
If Breland Speaks gets a sack, who's on the other side?
Right. So that's 3 sacks for them and none for Houston, see?
Okay. Well played.
Ta-da.
Well played.
Boom. Done. There we go.
Well played.
Very well played. But the whole point is he's always on the other side.
Yeah, right.
He's out there for all of them. Every of the all of the snaps.
Gotcha. There we go. Okay.
What? 52%. That's just, come on.
It's now 51-49. It's actually moved in the 30 seconds we've been talking
about
it.
What are you thinking?
All right. More likely to be Royals manager in 2019, Ned Yost or Mike Matheny?
More likely?
Well, man, this is I haven't gotten to it, but
right. And it is, it's really a speculation. We're even saying, let's think about adding him to their front office or something. I mean, it's really an outside speculation thing. I don't know. I would say Ned Yost. Even though I don't think Ned is going to be the manager.
The answer,
but I don't
for
think
the fan, they're not going to say a fired Cardinal manager right. is the answer in Kansas City. So Ned Yost is going to win this. And I think big.
73-27.
Yeah, okay. Might have been better.
Would you prefer was Ned 65-35? Okay. Similar question.
Yeah.
And the deal is,
there's
I
a
really,
report out there that the Royals are intrigued by Mike Matheny.
Yes, that's all. And to bring him in as an advisor or some sort of thing. But I don't think Ned will be the manager next year.
But
I don't think it's going to be Mike Matheny.
I'm intrigued by Trout. I'm not eating it. Okay, you know, I mean, like, I like that report is so vague. Like, what are you? They're intrigued in what way?
What capacity? Right. He would
like,
serve.
They'd like to have lunch with him, or they want him to manage the team. That's a big range.
They
want to
find out the Cardinal way, yeah. Maybe pick his brain.
Well, that's why Cal Eldred is here, and that has not clicked in the bullpen as of yet.
How many games does Eric Berry play this season? 1-4, 5-8, 9-12. 13-16. I'm divided it up into 4.
Yeah,
equal.
Yeah.
I mean, for people out there listening, because you can see the numbers, but
can't count to 4.
Yeah.
I say 5-8 is what they'll answer. I think he's going to play 1-4.
I think they'll go 9-12. Optimistic, but more than half.
29% said 9-12. 26% said 5-8. 25% said 13-16, and 20% said 1-4. They
so you
are
don't
all
have any freaking idea
place.
Is basically what's going
on. None of us do.
Everyone, all 4 answers between 20 and 29%.
All right.
Which was interesting. And last one, Tiger Woods has 14 major wins. How many does he end up with? 14, 15, 16, or 17 plus?
15. He's going to win one more.
The top two answers are going to be 16 and 15, I believe. I'll say 16. Wait, what's the score? I'll say 16.
41% said 15. 30% said 14. 21 said 16. And 8% think he has 3 more at least in it.
That sucks.
I think he'll get one more. Next year,
I think he gets two more.
And I think it's going to be next year. They're planning to play in Pebble next year, the U.S. Open. I don't know.
I think he gets two more.
It's good. That would be freaking incredible.
That would equal the most majors won by an individual after the age of 43.
Yeah.
And he's better than anyone who's ever played the game.
I know.
When he's healthy, and he's not even healthy. So I think he will exceed what anybody has done at his age. The injuries wrecked him. Jack Nicklaus stayed healthy. He didn't. Jack was a better player because he did the things, you know, he wasn't chasing the IHOP waitress, you know?
He adjusted his game.
Perkins. Was it Perkins?
Don't.
Please. Yeah. Poor IHOP.
Perkins.
Don't besmirch those fine ladies.
the way he is, you know. Million miles an hour, and everything he did.
And he's
too much lifting, I'm sure, was part of the problem, too. Mm-hmm. Everything he did a million miles an hour, and that cost him the big thing. Jack had a little more balance to what he was doing, hence he's the better player. Will be remembered as the better player.
If you said, at their best,
who would you rather have? I think I'd rather have Tiger.
Yeah.
Right? But who was, at the end, who's their career, who was better? I think it was Nicklaus. Is that
Jack.
Fair?
Yeah, very fair, because Jack still holds... He has the most not only does he have the most
first,
majors,
seconds.
But all the seconds he has, he's right there.
Tiger
every
has
time.
7 seconds now.
Yeah, right.
So that was significant to finish second.
But I will say this. If he does win another major or whatever, wins a bunch of – this is one of the most incredible comebacks ever.
Tiger
– In any sport.
This is correct. He won – was it the Masters? He won something, one of the majors, by 15 strokes. Is that right?
Yeah, the 97.
I had forgotten.
Masters when he was 18 under.
Yeah, he was 18 under.
He won by 15.
it's mind-boggling how good he was. When we look back, when we have a chance to settle back and look back on the screen like we did Palmer and Nicklaus, jaw's going to hit the ground. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's done, except for the majors where Nicklaus hasn't beat.
And the fans love him.
Oh, you know
how much that pisses off old white guys?
Oh.
Just when terrible. He got that applause. How much when he got that applause walking up to the the booth or whatever the
up
hell it's
over
called.
The, up over
and
the
fans were just
going
nuts.
Crazy.
I don't know what I heard more. The fans screaming for him or the Tiger haters.
Right.
Why do you like him?
I'll tell you, he's amazing, too. He tweets out, hey, St. Louis, you deserve a Ryder Cup. This is the greatest. Thank you so much. This is the greatest tournament. Thank you for it. And then Koepka is up there, and he's doing the same walk
Koepka
after
was
Tiger.
Great.
No, he was he's a terrific player.
Okay. But he was great in how he handled that, I mean.
Yes, he did. But his deal was, then he had a chance, and Tiger does it first. He walks up over the ramp, and he's going up all the steps and all over the area, and everybody's standing there clapping. He's waving at him, and he's doing his thing. He goes, here comes Koepka. I think he put his hand up like once or twice, never took his cap off, never turned, stopped, and just said, hey, whatever, just sort of kept.
Oh, really? I didn't see that part.
And I'm just going, are you kidding me, kid? You got to be kidding me.
He's kind of a dead fish.
He is.
But I will say this. When asked about the Tiger thing, he didn't go, I should get all kinds of
cheer for him. Nope.
Yeah, he didn't have his panties in a bunch. He acknowledged, he's like, hey, Tiger's great. It was great being out there with him. It was great playing with him. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a good job in the interview of handling the Tiger talk. Because I know a lot of guys have gotten tired of answering questions about Tiger.
Sure.
And maybe he will, too. He wins a couple more majors and still answering Tiger
questions.
What about
me?
He'll be like, listen, I've won five since this guy won anything. Maybe that'll change. But I thought he did a good job of handling it there.
Yeah, I did, too.
We'll take a break. What in the world, Saran? How stupid am I? And current events is next here in the program. All right, Frank. What do you got for me?
Buddy, what weed killer is said to cause cancer?
Oh God, the one that everyone uses. I can't remember the name.
Roundup. Jury awarded a California groundskeeper $289.2 million.
I got two bottles in my
700. Yeah, so do I. 760,000 students from 116 countries competed in Microsoft's Excel game to test student skills in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. How old was the winner?
14.
15 years old from Fort Myers, Florida.
Bet the kid's bright.
Who's rumored to be the next James Bond?
President Donald Trump.
Idris Elba.
Don't know who that is.
Shaken, not stirred.
What European city has just installed eco-friendly open-air public urinals on the street?
European city?
Yes.
It sounds like Amsterdam.
Paris. Amsterdam did it before. You're right. There.
Oh, see?
Let's go. Amsterdam's good.